Okay, we're in our fourth shiur in the Pnine Halacha series. We're going to start by speaking about tibul b'mashke. Tibul b'mashke is the idea that you have to wash your hands before eating something that's dipped in water or a liquid. We're familiar with this probably from Pesach night, where we wash our hands without a bracha before dipping the karpas in salt water. So we're going to discuss what exactly is the source for this halacha, and what, if any, relevance does it still have today outside of Pesach. So, Se'if Hei and Perek Bet, Mitzvah Yadayim L'Tavar Shetibulo B'mashke, washing your hands for something that's dipped in liquid. B'chalat HaKanat Nitzvah Yadayim L'Fnei Achilat Lechem Tikru Chamim L'Tol Yadayim L'Fnei Achilat Davar Shetibulo B'mashke. In addition to the takana to wash your hands before eating bread, it was also, a part of that was washing your hands before you ate something that was dipped in water. Lo Nikanes L'Pratei Adinim Rak Nitzayin Shamayim O Mashkim Acharim Gormim La'arat Tumah V'Agbarata. We're not going to get into the specific details when it comes to how Tumah and Tahara works, but just needed to point out that water is kind of serves as a conductor, in a sense, in order to pass Tumah to another, or from place to place, or to increase its status. Again, not going to get into too many details, but that's what liquid does. So anyone who eats something, for example, a fruit, or anything that's dipped, that's wet, that's still moist, from one of the seven liquids that conveys Tumah, right, needs to wash his hands. Right, in order so that the Tumah doesn't transfer from your hands onto the fruit that you're eating. What are those seven liquids, by the way, that have the ability to transfer Tumah? Those are wine, honey, oil, milk, dew, blood, and water. These are seven liquids that have the koach to convey Tumah from one thing to another. Right? According to most poskim, even though we don't practice Tumah and Tahara today, still, just like you have to wash your hands before bread, you should wash your hands before you're eating something that has liquid on it, or that was dunked in water. So it's the opinion of Rambam and Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rosh that just like we still do Netilat Yadayim for bread today, even though we don't really practice Tumah and Tahara, so too we should still be doing it for Tibul B'mashke. Ulam Ladat Maram and Rotenberg Balaitur Vatosfot. So according to the Maram Rotenberg Balaitur and Tosfot, Yeshno Avdel Ben Netilot. There's actually a significant difference between Netilat Yadayim for bread and Netilat Yadayim for Tibul B'mashke, such that we would continue for bread but not for Tibul B'mashke. Shanetilat Lefnei Alechem Nitzkena Gam Mishum Kedusha V'Nikayon. Lechen Gam Zmanen Tzichim Tzarech Kadesh Et Yadayim Linkotam Likata Suda. That the idea behind washing your hands for bread was not just a matter of conveying Tumah from one place to the other, like our concern is for Tibul B'mashke. The idea for bread was also for A, Nikayon, general cleanliness, and B, the Kedusha, the inherent holiness and sanctity that we believe comes along with washing your hands properly with water, that we're going to speak about a little bit later. And therefore their shita is that you shouldn't have to wash your hands anymore for Tibul B'mashke. There the concern is only Tuma, which we don't practice today. You are supposed to wash your hands before something that's Tibul B'mashke, according to the Shulchan Aruch. However, there are those who are mekel, as we mentioned, the Maharam Rotenberg is mekel, the Balayter is mekel, the Tosfot is mekel. So what do you do when they're mekel? We have a suffix regarding whether or not this is still nahu, whether we still do this. So you shouldn't make a bracha. Right? And that is the opinion of most of the Achronim, as quoted by the Mishnah Brura, that you should still wash your hands for Tibul B'mashke, you shouldn't make a bracha because it's a suffix. Lefize, and according to this, so if you're having fruit, right, and you wash the fruit and they're still wet, right, it's very, very common with like grapes. Put them in a big bowl and you pour water in the bowl and you pour the water, they're still very wet, right? So you should be washing your hands before you eat those grapes. אמנם למעשה רוב האנשים נוהגים שליטול ידיים לפני אכילה, דבר שבו ממש כה. We see today that in practice, most people are not makpid to do this. וכתבו כמה פוסקים, דברי חמודות, מגן אברהם, שיש להם על מה לסמוך. Hey, that those people who do not practice to do netil yadayim by tibul mashke have what to rely on. They have a sheet to rely on, meaning we mentioned the sheet that said it's okay. Hoyel v'yisod netil yadayim midivrei chachamim ukmo b'chol savek shebidivrei chachamim kach gam b'din zeh halacha kedivrei meikel. Right. So the entire construct of tibul mashke is derabanan. There is no deoraita component here, and therefore we have a general suffix as to whether or not it's still appropriate to do today or still necessary to do today, in which case in theory you have a suffik derabanan and a suffik derabanan you could be makil. Now the maisa we pass in the chumrah that you should be doing it anyway, but the people who don't, they have al mali smoch, they're not doing something that's necessarily wrong. But I want to point out the footnote. Probably not going to get into every footnote, but this footnote specifically I want to focus on, footnote number 3 at the bottom, le'umat zod yesh nogim letol bebracha. Just so you know, there are those who do netila even to the bracha. Kach minaga temanim, anogim ki Rambam, v'chein nagu agra v'talmida. Right? So, temanim, who paskin like the Rambam, and the students of the Vilna Gaon generally wash for tibul b'mashke with a bracha. Ulam l'rov poskim, netila notlim below bracha. Most poskim say you should do netila without a bracha. V'yesh losi. Shekama dvarim, nichiku ha-poskim, ha'im chal din davar shtibul b'mashke. It's very important to mention that there are a number of things that you might think are tibul b'mashke that are a machloket as to whether or not they're even tibul b'mashke. Right? And it's important to point out. And by all of those things, which in and of themselves may not need tibul b'mashke, so seemingly you can be lenient there and not wash your hands because it's a svek sveka. Right? First off, I guess you don't even know if you have to be doing washing your hands for tibul b'mashke. And then these things, even if you do hold by tibul b'mashke, may not require washing your hands. Echad, aleph, safek ima halacha gedat ha-machmirim letol yadayim lefnei davar shibul b'mashke. Right? The first safek is whether or not the halacha even accords with the machmirim. So you should still be doing netil yadayim for tibul b'mashke b'sman hazeh. Bet, gamim halacha kachmirim, even if you want to say that the halacha is like a machmirim, ulai ein zeh davar shibul b'mashke. Maybe this thing is not actually subject to the dinim of tibul b'mashke. L'dugma. So what are the examples of these things? Yesh sovrim shemashke mevushal enu din b'mashke. Right? Once you have a cooked liquid, perhaps there are those who hold that's not considered a, it's not considered a mashke anymore. V'chein katuv b'shut marmit, chelek aleph, chaye adam, b'shayre marmit. I'm not sure that's chelek aleph. Yeah, I think it's chelek aleph. B'shayre knesset agadol. They believe that cooked liquids don't constitute mashke. Lefize atovel biskvit b'tei patur minatila. So if you're dipping a biscuit in tea, right, you don't have to do natila because tea is a cooked liquid and it doesn't constitute tibul mashke. V'chein ha'ochel pachot mishiur nefach kebeitza. And someone who's eating less than a kebeitza, enu tzarech natila mitam svek sveka. Right, also doesn't need to do a natila because it's not so clear that you need to do a natila on anything that's less than a kebeitza, even by bread. We're going to discuss that in the continuation. What's the minimum amount of bread that you need to eat in order to do natila yadayim? וכן, כשאוכלים את המאכל שיש עליו משקה בכף ומזלג. If you're not eating it with your hands, I mean, the whole issue is we're concerned about conveying tuma from your hands onto the food. What if you're not eating it with your hands? What if you're eating it with a fork or a spoon? Right? So there are those who hold that you don't have to do if you're eating the moist food with a fork or a spoon, and all the more so if that moisture is from a cooked liquid. So if you're dunking a biscuit into tea that with a fork, then all the more so you have three svekot here. Aval im shataf anavim o tapuchim v'nishara bahem retivut. However, if you washed fruit and they're still moist, afilu im eno noge betzad haratuv, even if you're not even touching the side that is still moist, l'rov poskim roi lahachmir, shemir kaze ein serv shel safek nosaf lakel. Most poskim believe it's appropriate to be machmir because you don't have the svek sveka, you only have one safek, and l'chachila you're supposed to be machmir here, like the Shulchan Aruch paskins and like the Mishnah Berurah paskins, that you're supposed to do netil yadayim without a bracha. Right? So that definitely applies to, even bizman hazeh, to grapes and other fruit. However, if you don't do it, this is al mili smoch, but lechachila, you should be makbid to do it. Al eza kamut lechem tzrich letol. So we mentioned that there are minimum shirim of lechem, of bread, that you have to make up, that you have to do netila on. Nichaku aposki, b'sheila al eza shiur ma'achal tzuchim letol yadayim. So there's a machloket as to how much you need to eat in order to obligate yourself in netila yadayim. Yesh amim shadin netila yadayim, makbil lebirkat hamotzi, kumo sha'ochel afilu chatikam mizarit, shal lechem tzrich lebirkat hamotzi, kachu gam tzrich letol yadayim. So those who say that the takana of netila yadayim was implemented opposite the idea of hamotzi, meaning opposite the construct of hamotzi. No matter how much bread you're eating, you need to make a hamotzi. It could be a tiny piece of bread, you need to make a hamotzi. And therefore, you have to do netila yadayim. If netila yadayim was established whenever you needed to make a hamotzi. Alternatively, according to the Ritva and according to the Gra, netila yadayim was not implemented in accordance with the construct of hamotzi, rather in accordance with birkat hamazon. And even though by hamotzi, you have to make hamotzi for any amount of bread that you're going to eat, birkat hamazon, you only need to say when you're having a kezayit. So if you're having less than a kezayit of bread, you still have to make hamotzi, but you don't have to make a birkat hamazon. So according to the Ritva and the Gra, you also don't have to wash your hands for that. The Yesh Sovrim. Sheesh makom lomar shenetila yadayim nitkana rak lemi shemitkaven lachol kishur nefach shel beitza. Right? And the Rokeach believes that actually netila yadayim was a takana only for someone who's going to have at least an egg's worth, an egg size, a kabeitza of bread. V'la lacha, nachon lachush lachol ha-shitot. La lacha, yishbi choshesh for every shita. Lefikach, gam mi shemitkaven lachol shiur maziri shel lechem yitol yadayim. So, if you have intention of eating even a minuscule piece of bread, you should do netila yadayim. Aval et habracha yivarech rak shir mitkaven lechol lechem kshur kebeitza. However, as far as saying the bracha on netila yadayim, that you should only make if you're going to have a shir kebeitza. Shekachu aklal shebichol safek anugel habrachot ha-hura shelo yivarech. Right. So whenever we have a safek when as it pertains to making a bracha, we go lekula. In which case, if it might be that netilat yadayim and therefore the bracha that comes along with netilat yadayim is only necessary when you're having a kebeitza, so if you're not having a kebeitza, you really shouldn't make the bracha, but you should still wash your hands. V'chol adam makir et godla shel beitza v'im la'arachato yesh b'lechem shu mitkaven lechol kmo nefach shel beitza yivarach al netila. So we're going to get more into this in depth because there are a lot of specific dinim that need to be discussed, and that's going to be in Perek Yud. But basically, the concept is, you know how big an egg is. Look at the bread that you're going to eat. If it looks bigger than an egg, you wash and make a bracha. If it looks smaller than an egg, wash without a bracha. Furthermore, you need to know, shegam mi shemitkaven lekvoa sfirato al ma'afim shel minei mezono, tzrich letol yadayim tchila bebracha, v'varach lehem motzi birkat hamazon. So now, we're going to discuss this at length later on in Perek Vav. But you also need to know that if you need to make you need to do netilat yadayim, even on a baked good that you generally say mezonot on, if it's a staple of your meal, right? So if you're kind of cutting open one of those burekas and you're putting eggs in it and all these other things, and like that's your whole lunch, right? Then that's a baked good that is constituting the staple of your meal. You're being kovea suda on this baked good. You're supposed to wash your hands and make motzi on it. But that has a lot of small details that we have to get into in Perek Vav. Okay, hamayim, the water that you use for netilat yadayim. Et netilat yesh levatzeh mitoch kli shiu bo mayim b'shiur shel revi'it halog lechol apachot shu kenefach beitza umechza. Right. So the water, the kli that you're washing, or rather the water that you're washing with, you need to have at least a revi'it of water in that kli. Right. What's a revi'it of water? We can get into the milliliters, which I'm sure we'll speak about in a little bit, but it's about an egg and a half's worth in equivalence to liquid. If you did not even use a revi'it, you weren't yotze your obligation in terms of netilat yadayim. You have to wash again. Hamayim tzrichim liot shkufim kimaram hatv. The water needs to be clear. It needs to be in its natural state. And if their appearance changed in any way, it's not clear, it's not in its natural appearance, right? It's not, you're not allowed to use that for netilat yadayim. Lefize, asur letol yadayim b'mitz, b'pnei shehu mayim shenishnu mar'ehem. So you can't use juice of any kind to to wash your hands with. If this water was used for something else, used for a different purpose, you're not allowed to then use that for netila. Right? So if you use water to wash dishes, right, and you collected the water at the bottom of the tub, you cannot use that for washing your hands. You might suggest, oh, you know, they're dirty anyway, they probably look different. That's true, but even if, right? If you put like a bottle, a hot bottle in water to cool it off before you give it to a baby, that water was now used for a purpose and cannot be used now for netilat yadayim. Right? What comes to mind here, a very practical example, I don't know if you're ever camping or on some kind of trip, and you have a big tub of ice water that you're keeping all the drinks in, right? You can't take a cup of water and wash your hands with that, lichora, according to what he's saying here, because that water was used to cool down these drinks. Right, so in order to address the significance of the tahara, the purity that comes along with water, we're going to get into one of his more hashkafic points that he likes to attach into the halachic discussion. That, as we said, water is sanctity and its purity, it purifies your hands. We have to understand what exactly that means. Because everything we're doing in Netilat Yadayim is kind of based on this assumption that your hands are impure to some degree, the water is purifying them. But let's try to wrap our minds around why exactly that's the case. So Yesh Lagdim, we have to make the following introduction. Shekeyadua atumah sheyechet lemavet vechidalon lekol amet hu v'lechen hametu avi avot atumah. Tumah, in its essence, is connected to death. That's why a dead body itself is the avi avot atumah. It is the foremost source that all impurity emanates from, a dead body. And all forms of tumah, of impurity, has some sort of either close or distant relationship, for the most part, with death. So tumah kind of symbolizes this, like, similar to, tantamount to death. It's of or related to death. But water, on the other hand, in contrast, is the liquid of life. Any living thing in this world, plant life or animal life or human being, can only exist with water. It is the thing that we need most. It is our life source. So it's interesting that tumah, impurity, has this inextricable link to death in all its forms. And then water that we use to, you know, banish the tumah, banish the impurity, is our life source. It's the thing that we cannot live without. Yeter al kein. And furthermore, hamayim kadmu lekol habriya. Water predated all other creation. Sh'od lifnei tchilat ma'aseh bereshit ne'emar ruach Elokim merachevet al panei hamayim. Before Kadosh Baruch Hu even started, created the world, says that the Ruach Elokim was floating on top of the water. So water was there before everything. Before even God started creating, water was there. Nimtza shemayim yisod ha-kadum biyoter. It must be that water is the most primary, the foremost, the first element, the earliest element. So perhaps, for that reason, the Torah commanded that someone who became tameh, who became impure, right, by extension distance himself from the very source of his life, right? How so? Well, because he came in contact with something that is associated with death. Yitbol et kol gufo b'mikveh mayim. Right? So he has to immerse himself entirely in a tub of water, which is the source of life and the fundamental aspect of life, the first element of life that came into this world. And because of that, the life source within him is kind of reawakened. And the neshama tehora, right, the pure soul that's never affected, that remains in its absolute tahara state, is able to overcome the mavet, the death, and the impurity that it came in contact with. And the impurity that was attached to your body, that came in contact with your body, will leave. And furthermore, I mean, the natural aspect of water is to clean what's attached to your hands. And so rinsing or immersing in water also has a certain symbolic significance, just of cleanliness, to wash off what's attached to you. Not just what's physically attached to you, but what is spiritually attached to you. Just like dirt and filth comes off by water, so too the tuma, the impurity which is attached to the externalities of you, also are purified and washed off by water. Specifically, he emphasizes that just like things that are attached to your body, but not a part of your body, are washed off by water. Filth is not a part of your body, it's just something that came in contact with your body. So too, tuma, and this is a deep, deep hashkafic point, that impurity is not seen as part of who you are. It is seen as something attached to you, but only external to you, attached to you, but not part of who you are. On the inside, you have a neshama teora. On the inside, you're a completely pure soul. Everything that you do to yourself and the tuma, the impurity that you come in contact with, that becomes an external part of your existence, right? And therefore, water, which is able to wash away not what is internal to you, but what is external to you, is able to also purify you from the tuma, which we see as only an external part of you. We don't see you as a person. We don't see you as a tummy person, rather just a person who has come in contact with tuma. And the same can be said about, or the same reason should be applied to the netilat yadayim, not just that you do in a mikvah, right, to purify yourself, but also that you wash your hands with before the seuda. She'achila alula lahashpil adam letzad ha'chomrani. Because a seuda has the koach, has the power, the ability to direct a person to his most physical sides, right? When you eat a meal, a good meal, a big meal that was, you know, well prepared, your animal side comes out of you. You don't want to stop eating. You see this as like the best thing in the entire world. You know, you become like an animal. You're being controlled by your physical sides when you're eating. But when he first purifies his hands in water, he purifies himself, she'em yisod ha'chaim, which are the, you know, fundamental element of life, right? So he redirects, he elevates his eating for an ideal purpose. So that the food and that even the good taste of the food can give you simcha, give you happiness and enjoyment in this world, so you can have, you know, a meaningful and enjoyable life. But it's supposed to just be a means to contribute to something greater, your sustenance and your enjoyment, as opposed to becoming an animalistic endeavor and, you know, eating like animals. Like, so by purifying ourselves beforehand, we hope to elevate our eating experience and refocus ourselves on what the eating is supposed to be for. And perhaps that's why in the Gemara and Shabbat, the Chamim gave a tremendous amount of praise for those who washed their hands, not just with a little bit of water, but with a lot of water, who poured an abundance of water in their hands. And what they mean is that you wash your hands in the best way possible, so that the water is poured over all of your hand. They weren't encouraging the idea that you should unnecessarily use a tremendous amount of water for netilat yadayim. That's actually an iser of bal tashchit. I mean, you shouldn't do that. That's a significant waste of water. Okay, on to Siv Chet, Kli. We're going to talk about the vessel that you can use in order to wash your hands. Hanatila shemitaheret et yadayim lekat tzeuda tzecha litvatzei al ide kli. Kfi shematzino shakonim ayum kadshim et yadayim v'raglim v'kiur shu kli. The netila that you do before a seuda must be with a vessel, a proper kli, a cup of some kind. Because that similar we saw by the Kohanim, they would wash their hands in the kiur, like in the basin, and that's a kli, that's a vessel, and so we also need to use a vessel. Ubelo kli adetila psula. Without a kli, without a vessel, well, the washing is pasul. Hamashal, mi shechaver chofan bekafot yadav, maim vahitila mal yadav, lo yata yadei chovat netila v'pnei nasta belo kli. So if your friend fills his hands up with water and pours it onto your hands, it doesn't work, it's not a kli. That's not proper netila yadayim. V'chein imila sakit nylon b'mayim mitoch sakit shevach maim al yadav, lo yata yadei chovat netila v'pnei shen sakit in a kli. And if you fill up a bag with, water, you can't pour it on your hands, the bag isn't considered a kli. Hakli tzarich la'achil l'kol ha'pachot revi'it. Ve'im eno machil shiur zeh pasul metila. And the kli needs to hold a revi'it. Right? If it doesn't hold a revi'it, it's pasul for netila. Now, you might be thinking, but don't you have to pour at least a revi'it on your hands? So how could it be that you could ever use something that's less than a revi'it? Well, you can just fill up two cups that are less than a revi'it and pour them on your hands one after the other. You would think that would work because you have the right amount of water. You have a revi'it of water. But no, because if the vessel itself doesn't hold a revi'it, it doesn't constitute a proper kli. Kli sheyesh bo nekev, right? A vessel that has a hole in it, imhu kones mashke. If that vessel would allow water to come, if that hole, sorry, would allow water to come into the vessel, how do we test if a vessel can let in water? You don't just pour water over it. You dunk the vessel into water, right? Such that the top of it is still out of the water. And if you see that the water is coming in through the outside of the vessel, you know that the hole lets water in. That's possible to use. Right, but if it's any smaller than that, then even though it has a hole, you're still allowed to use it. Kshish tetocho ma'im v'im nozim v'mena tipa 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 achar tipa b'retzifut b'vadei ha'nekev v'kshu konas mashke pasul. And b'vadei, if there's a solid dropping, if there's like a steady dropping one after the other from the kli, then you know that hole is too big and it's possible to use. Im ha'nekev yoter rachav yotzim menu ma'im shoshar litol b'em et ha'yadayim v'ad makom ha'nekev v'kli machzik r'vi'it. Let's say that there's a hole in the kli, but underneath the kli, underneath that hole, you still have a revi'it. Just a bigger kli, or you have a full revi'it underneath that hole. Then that's allowed, except you have to pour from the hole itself. You can't then pour from the normal lip of the kli, because only that which is under the hole constitutes a kli. Above the hole is a broken kli, because it has a hole in it. But underneath the hole, it constitutes a proper kli, and we just see the hole as kind of a lip for the kli itself. In which case, you can pour it, you can use that, but only out of the hole itself. What if there's a break in the lip of the vessel itself? If there's a break in the lip, you're allowed to use it, but you have to pour from the lip itself. Similar reason, right? Because the kli is no longer a proper kli until the very edge of the kli. It's only a proper kli up until that break, right? Because the water, if you fill the kli to the top, into its topmost height, then it's going to leave through that break. In which case, only everything that's underneath the break constitutes a proper kli, so you have to pour it out of that break. So you can use a pitcher that has a spout. But if the spout itself is lower than the lip, right, then you have to davka wash your hands from the spout.
Right?
So you're allowed to use a kumkum, a hot water heater. However, if the spout is lower than the rest of the lip, then you have to davka use the spout in order to wash, because it only collects water up until this, the place of that spout. לגבי כוס חד פעמי עשויה מפלסטיק או קרטון, היו שרצו לומר שלחילה אין לטול בידיים, פני שאין אני שווה כלי בר קיימה, שהרי עומד לזורקה לאחר שימוש. What about a חד פעמי, right? A disposable cup. There are those who say you shouldn't use it because it's disposable, it's not a proper כלי, because you're going to throw it out. אולם למעשה דעת רוב הפוסקים שאין הבדל אם משתמשים בכלי פעם אחת או בכמה פעמים, בכיוון שגם בכוס חד פעמי משתמשים ככלי, שהרי שותים בה, דינה כדין כלי ומותר לטול בידיים. למעשה, we use this as a proper כלי, we drink out of disposable cups, in which case, למעשה, according to Tzitz Eliezer, you're allowed to use this for נטיל הידיים בכל מקום, משום הידר מצווה, עדיף להשתמש בכלי קבוע שאין עומדי לזרקו. But it's better, it's nicer to use it, to use a proper כלי that is not, that you're not going to just throw out. מותר לטול ידיים בקבוק, you're allowed to use a bottle, ואם, ואף שירך מעט זמן עד שהמיים יטבו את כל היד, אין בזה בעיה. Even though that extends the amount of time it takes to really make your entire hand wet, doesn't matter. ואם אפשר, עדיף שהמיים יזרמו ברציפות עד שירטיבו את כל היד. And ideally, you should have a constant stream from the bottle until your entire hand is wet. And Rav Lama just finished off this section with a very, very nice, deep, ideological point that warrants a lot of thinking. אפשר ללמוד מהלכה זו שכל רעיון או אידיאל, גם אם יהיה נעלה ביותר, זקוק למסגרת. So you can learn the following idea from this halacha, that even the most lofty of ideas needs a framework. כדי שאפשר יהיה להגשימו, in order to actualize that idea. המים מסמלים כאן את התוכן. Right? The water, right, is the תוכן. It's the content. It is the most spiritual of all, you know, liquids, as we were just speaking about earlier. It's the most spiritual thing in our world, perhaps. It's what's מתאר. בכלי הוא המסגרת, שבלעדי המים אינו יכולים לתאר את הידיים. But the vessel is the framework for that water, that without that framework, without the vessel, the water, which is completely tahor, can't do a thing. Right, the water, which is all tahara, cannot be metaher anything without that vessel. The vessel is what contains it, it's what holds on to it, it's what facilitates the purity of the water to go on to other things. You apply that to so many aspects of Judaism where something is so spiritual and so nice and so elevated, you just want to connect to it, and then you're wondering why there's so many halachas surrounding it. It like makes the, it almost you know, minimizes the significance of the endeavor. You have to realize that that's just the framework by which the most spiritual of ideas manifest themselves. And you need that framework in this world to actualize even the most lofty of ideals.